All right, welcome to the Free Stretch preseason week 3 edition here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. We're getting ready for the final preseason game of the year. Nobody's ever sad to see it go, and it will go after Friday night. The Dolphins are in town. They're going to play the Bucks at 7:30. Today, as I'm recording this, it's Wednesday, and they had a joint practice today that ended just a little while ago, I believe. So they'll have their own walkthroughs tomorrow for pregame, play the game Friday night. After that, it's a bye week. After that, it's a game week, as we're still looking ahead to the Commanders coming into Raymond James Stadium on week 1. And as I sit here now on this Wednesday, so I guess it's exactly 2 weeks from tomorrow, on Thursday night when it'll be Ravens-Chiefs. There's that Brazil game, right? Packers-Eagles on the Friday night. Bucks play the Commanders that Sunday. But we're inside of 2 weeks here till actual football starting tomorrow. And so we'll get this Dolphins preseason game out of the way. It should be a little more interesting than the first two have been because the starters are expected, at least the healthy starters, are expected to play. Todd Bowles did say that the healthy starters will play Friday. He has not said exactly how much. Baker Mayfield, for his part, has said that he doesn't think he'll play a ton, but he will go out there for maybe a series or two. And either way, I'll tell you why I'm looking forward to it. On a personal note, a lot of you that know me or have listened to my show, you know I do some side work in TV production. Basically, I'm the guy. When you watch a game on TV, this is not a full-time job, but when I do this job, I'm the guy when you watch a game on TV that's running the little score box in the corner of the screen, or sometimes it's a strip like the Rays games, the Bally Bar on the bottom, or the Lightning games. I do a lot of those, do some other stuff, you know, depending on a wide variety of sports. It's freelance work. Point of it is, I've been doing it even back when I was doing sports talk radio. I've been doing it. I have a friend in the business who got me into it. It's easy money and it's fun and you're at the ballpark anyway. And so NFL games I don't do a lot of because they're national broadcasts. I work mostly local broadcasts, like for Bally or sometimes some cable stuff. But the preseason games I do work. So for the Dolphins game Friday, they needed somebody. I could have done my normal job with the score bar, but they needed somebody. You know that guy when you watch the game, and you may see me on TV Friday, that holds that big plastic dome with the microphone, the parabolic mic. He stands right there on the sidelines. I'm going to be that guy. I said, yeah, let's have some fun. I want to get on the field. I don't want to be stuck in the TV truck, you know, watching on a little monitor like usual. Let me get out there. So if you happen to be watching and there's this tall, jacked guy with a shaved head holding the parabolic mic, you can barely tell him apart from the players, that's me. And I'll be there on this. I don't even know. I've never done it before, so I don't even know where I'll be standing. I think I stand right on the line of scrimmage, though. I'm not sure how it works when the ball is between like the 30-yard lines and the players. I don't even know how all that works. But anyway, I'll be down there. So I'm looking forward to that. That'll be fun. And on top of that, we're all looking forward to seeing just a little glimpse of the starters at least, because the first two preseason games didn't give us very much of that. And I don't have a ton to say today about the Jaguars game this past weekend, because even for the most hardest of hardcore Buck fans, like I know the Joes, if it's your job to like cover the team, like if you're Greg Allman or Rick Stroud or the Joes or any of the reporters, then I guess you had to watch it. But if you watched every play of that game and you don't have to watch it, you are the hardest of hardcore, not just Buccaneer, but football fans in general, because even as much as we're jonesing for any type of football we can get right now, as it's just the dawning of a new season and we've been starved for 6 months and we'll take anything we can get. Even feeling that way, I watched a couple series of that game Saturday and I was like, oh, it was not easy. It was not easy to watch. And there was a guy, let's give a hat tip to Jose Ramirez. He's a practice squad edge guy and, you know, he's been with the Bucs on the practice squad for a while. 3 sacks. That's not a very common occurrence, and I know it didn't come against the studs for Jacksonville either. But he had a nice game. There were a couple other things, but whatever. You know, I'm not going to get all wrapped up into it. I'm not going to say these things aren't important. They're important to a select few. Preseason has changed. Of course, it's been cut from 4 games to 3, and it probably will be cut to 2 games at some point in the not too distant future. But the way coaches approach it has changed too. Even before, they didn't treat preseason like much, which they shouldn't because it doesn't count. You don't want to risk injury and things like that. But they really don't treat it like anything now. Only 12 of the projected 32 starting quarterbacks for Week 1 played even a snap in Week 2. And starters are playing less and less, it seems, as the years go by. They've got these joint practices now, like the Bucs and Jags did last week and like the Bucs and Dolphins are doing this week. And they can get a lot of intel from those. And obviously there's other things they do to evaluate players. But it really feels like the preseason now is mainly just to determine those very, very bottom of the roster spots. And I think more of it's just, hey, we got to fill. It's almost like spring training in baseball. We got to fill up these snaps. Spring training in baseball, there's way too many of those games, too. The reason they do that is because they need innings for pitchers. That the first baseman and the left fielder do not need 35 spring training games to get ready for the year. They just don't. But they need innings to get pitchers working. There's lots of pitchers. That's why. And plus revenue is another reason, because these cities build these, you know, multi-million dollar spring training stadiums now. They want more than 10 games. They want 15, 16, 17 games. But anyway, point is, NFL preseason's really, it never was great to begin with. It's tough to watch now. And it's even tougher to watch this year, if you've noticed, and all preseason games seem like they're bad, but have you noticed they seem like the scoring's really down, like they're even worse, like nobody can get anything done, nobody can move the football? You're not wrong, okay? There have been 32 preseason games. All 16 teams have played two. Actually, 33 because of the Hall of Fame game, excuse me. And in those 33 games, folks, the under is 27-6. I've always been a big fan of betting preseason unders in general. I haven't bet anything this year, though. But 27-6, the under. I mean, it's pronounced. It's not a coincidence. So what's going on? Like we said before, first of all, starting quarterbacks aren't playing as much. Second of all, though, and Warren Sharp, who does a lot of analytics and football analysis, some people are fans, other people are a little put off by him. I've always enjoyed his info, and he's going to give you the numbers either way. He'll throw a lot of numbers at you, but what's going on this year? It's only through two preseason games, but through two preseason games comparably in past seasons, one thing is different. The number of offensive penalties is the same, roughly. There are way, 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 way fewer defensive penalties being called so far right now. And if you look at some of these numbers, it's hard to deny that it's not a coincidence. Automatic first downs awarded by penalty usually runs some way. It varies, but in past years, I'll read them off. 112. This is through 2 weeks. This is the same. We're comparing apples to apples here. Offensive penalties defensive penalties that resulted in an automatic first down. Starting in 2017, 112, 192, 164, 105, 127, 123. That's up through last year. This year, 85, after averaging 137 the previous 7 years. Okay, what about, let's break it down. Offsides penalties are down 57%. Roughing the passer down 47%. Pass interference down 39%. Defensive pass interference yardage assessed is down 33%, and defensive holding is down 24%. So Warren Sharp's theory is that there's something going on. You know, referees every year have points of emphasis and things like that, and that there's something officially going on, not just, hey, it's a coincidence, there's fewer defensive penalties. Defenses didn't just suddenly start playing differently or committing fewer penalties, but there are way, way, way fewer right now. And it really has an impact on scoring. I mean, scoring is way down. This is two preseason games. I know everybody's like, well, dude, are you bored? Who actually spends any time tracking this? Hey, there is information to be had in these numbers, and it's through two preseason weeks, but it's more than statistical noise. It appears to be a signal. They've also called more ineligible man downfield penalties on offenses, even though overall offensive penalties are about the same. They've gone up in that one particular category. Whatever it is, it's something worth keeping an eye on as we enter the early part of the regular season. Scoring is way down. That is not as entertaining a product to people, and most of the things the NFL does usually are to enhance scoring. Usually everything they do seems to be advantageous to the offense, and that has been a general theme for a reason, because it's more entertaining for people. If the trend we're seeing in the first two preseason games continues into actual games that count, I wonder if anything more will come out about it, and if anything will be done about it, if any adjustments will be made by the league. But it's not a coincidence. It's been a couple of snooze fests you've seen in the Bucks games. It wasn't just the Bucks games. I mean, that game Saturday was terrible. I mean, it was really terrible. And I don't care. I mean, it's preseason. It's fine. Like I said, I always say it's better than no football at all. But there are numbers to back up that something has been different with the way penalties are called. And I'm a little torn because on one hand, yeah, nobody likes these games that are, nobody can score 20 points. On the other hand, don't automatic first downs on defensive penalties always feel a little cheap, even when it's a good call? I mean, it feels really cheap when it's a bad call. But even when it's a good call, like a roughing the passer or a defensive pass interference or whatever it is, and they didn't make the play, they couldn't quite get the pass completed, couldn't get the yards they need, and then, whatever, just walk it up and put it up there first down. Always feels cheap, right? So I like swallowing the whistle a little bit on those type of plays. But it also then, it's kind of glaring. You realize what an impact that has on offenses being able to move the football. But, maybe we need more information. If this is the way offenses are moving the football and they can't move the football without getting a cheap defensive pass interference call or a roughing the passer, then there are other problems that maybe need to be addressed. We'll see. But I thought it was worth at least bringing up. And if you are a gambler, and let me tell you something, folks, you don't get 50% slashed off your winnings because it's preseason, right? Every bet's the same. It can be the Super Bowl. It can be preseason week two. The odds work the same way. Unders are 27-6. Now, will that be a regression to the mean in week three? I don't know. Maybe. Are you questioning your own sanity that you're even considering making a bet on a preseason week three football game? Perhaps. But I know some of y'all are out there. And like I always say, if you want to make a game more entertaining, put a few bucks. It doesn't have to be much. I put $10 on a game and all of a sudden I'm like on my hands and knees in front of the TV, even though it makes no financial difference to me. It's just the action, So if that's what you need to get you into Bucks-Dolphins on Friday night or any other preseason game, have at it. And if you're going to the game, it should be fun. For those of you who are season ticket holders, I'm sorry you had to pay full price for your ticket Friday night. Hopefully you're able to move them. I used to be a season ticket holder, so I know your pain. But now, in no small part because I didn't like paying for preseason games, I just kind of go to the games individually as a fan. Sometimes I'm credentialed if I'm doing, anything in a media capacity, like I will be Friday night. And it'll be a lot of fun. So look for me on TV, though. I'll be holding the parabolic dome, and I don't know how much TV time I'll get, but I'll try to angle myself. I'll try to do some push-ups in the tunnel before I go out there to get a little extra pump to hopefully stand out more on TV amongst all the football players. I won't be in full gear, of course. I think they give me a nice vest. I'm not sure what, if it's one of those neon vests or something like that. But anyway, that's Friday night. And like I said, you'll see the starters for a little bit, and then we'll get down to business. As far as cuts, I don't do those the same way anymore, as most of you probably know. It used to be waves, like you have to get to a certain number after a couple of weeks, then the next week you'd get down a few more, and then the final cutdowns. There's only one cutdown now. That is Tuesday at 4 p.m., where every single team of the 32 will have to get from 90 players, which you carry in the preseason, to 53. That means 37 guys are going to be cut on all 32 teams. If you do the math, 1,184 players who will be in a football uniform this weekend will be unemployed by Tuesday afternoon. And then, of course, there's always some dust settling. Somebody that gets cut on one team, another team picks them up, then they cut a guy who thought maybe he did make the final 53. But I don't know how active the Bucks will be and all that. But when the dust will settle, whoever the players are, 1,184 fewer of them will be in a uniform after Tuesday than were before Tuesday at 4 p.m. As far as the Bucks go, there's not a ton of roster drama. There's always battles for bottom spots, but this isn't one of those years where there's these really intense camp battles for guys who are going to get meaningful snaps, I don't think. I think the big thing right now, you've got injuries, and we don't know what's going on with everybody, but Chase Edmonds, he hasn't been around at all. So you've got, obviously, Rashad White. Bucky Irving's going to be a guy who's in the plans, who's played well in the preseason. Sean Tucker, too. That's three backs. Do you carry a fourth with Chase Edmonds on the 53, or do you use that spot for something else? Nobody's seen him. He hasn't done anything in preseason. Like Yaya Diaby, at least we know he's going to be around, even though he's been nursing an injury. Chase Edmonds, we don't know what's going on. Randy Gregory never showed up. There was that whole story, and it was a little bit weird. You know, he has had some issues in the past, and I don't like to make light of anything involving mental health, and I don't know what his reasons are for not coming, but the Bucks also should probably not be surprised, you know, when you get involved in the Randy Gregory business that something unusual happened. So he never showed up. But as far as Chase Edmonds, that's just one roster spot thing, I think, to watch if he ends up being the fourth back or if they just use three or whatever. But they'll cut to 53 from 90 next Tuesday at 4 p.m. And then we're looking ahead and to the Redskins game, which, by the way, I've got it on my schedule on the side of the fridge now. The fridge schedule is available. I had a couple of emails last week. I just finished it, so I'm going to send you guys the schedule. But if you want a fridge schedule, which is I type out the Bucks schedule, I cut and paste the logo of every opponent, make it look real pretty, do a whole little thing. I like to have a big 8.5 by 11 schedule on my refrigerator with the logos. I write the wins and losses in. It's a tradition that goes back to my grandmother doing it when I was growing up, and I've always done that for football season. So email me if you want one. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. BobbyGameDay. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. And I will send you a fridge schedule. And it's just something I email and you print it out. And, you know, use a color printer, print it out, stick it on the fridge. You're good to go. And so that little maroon and yellow W is just sitting there week one. 2 weeks from this Sunday, it was made official, not that we didn't know, but made official this week that Jaden Daniels, the top pick for the Commanders, is going to start. And so I know, and I almost did it myself, I had to reflexively like stop myself, but all the rookie quarterback jokes came flooding in as soon as they named Daniels the starter against the Bucks. Oh my God, he's probably going to, you know, throw for 700 yards or whatever it is. Actual numbers, Greg Allman on his Twitter feed, he's the Bucks, not Bucks, he covers the NFC South for Fox Sports, not just the Bucks. But Greg Allman actually tweeted some good numbers. Yes, there was a time there for a while when rookie quarterbacks all seemed to turn into Joe Montana when they played the Bucks from 2011 through 2017 for those seven seasons. Rookie quarterbacks were 11-1 against the Bucks. Bucks were 1-11 against them. Since Todd Bowles took over the defense, both as defensive coordinator and now head coach, since then it's been a lot better. The Bucs are 10-5 versus rookie quarterbacks. And one of those five losses was 2022 Desmond Ridder Atlanta when the Bucs were resting starters in week 17. So really they're like 10-4 if you look at it that way. Now literally quarterbacks like literally making their first ever start, not just rookie quarterbacks, but their first ever start in the league. That's happened three times under Todd Bowles. Bucks are 1-2 in those games. They beat Trace McSorley, but Daniel Jones and Brock Purdy both got wins against the Bucks in their first ever starts, not just rookie year starts. I don't know how much of a sample size there is to draw anything from that, but that's what Jaden Daniels will be doing for the Redskins, for the Commanders in week one when they come in here for a late afternoon kickoff where hopefully the Bucks will be able to get off to a good start. You know, the early schedule is daunting, or the mid-early schedule is daunting. In fact, if you look at the schedule, that Commanders game is followed up by a tough one at the Lions, and then you get the Broncos, who are, you know, also going to be starting a rookie quarterback, it looks like. Then it gets a little tougher, and you've got basically, and I hate to get into the, like, let's project out individual games. I never want to do that, but you really want to be 2-1 between Commanders at home, at Detroit, and Denver at home. And then you've got Philadelphia. You go to Atlanta on Thursday night. Those division Thursday night roadies are always tough. And it's back-to-back division roadies with the Saints, and then you got the Ravens on Monday night, all that type of stuff. So you want to get out to a fast start here and stockpile wins where you think you should get them. And certainly that game against the Commanders in week one with a quarterback making his first ever start, not just as a rookie season, but his first game, is one where you'd hope the Bucks would be able to get the win. That's the one we are looking forward to right now. So, like I said, email me if you want to, BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. And I can email you back a schedule if you want one. Or if you just have any comments or questions that you want to have on the show, I can put them on there next week. Same thing on Twitter. Always get me on Twitter at Bobby Game Day. It's BobbyGameDay @BobbyGameDay. And you can follow me. You can hate follow me. You can monitor my tweets without officially following me, or you can interact with me any way you want to. I'm easy guy to reach. I'm always around. So let's get ready for Friday night. I'm looking for. I'll come back next week on next week's show. I'll talk about my, because I've been on many sidelines in my life. My uncle and my dad were high school football coaches. I was always the ball boy my whole childhood, and then I played high school football. Then I coached high school football with my uncle. And so I've been on a lot of sidelines at the high school level. I've never been on the sidelines during a game, except for like the final like couple of minutes. Sometimes I've gone down there for Bucks games and stood in the corner because the media is allowed to do that, like the final 5 minutes. But I've never been on the sideline for a full NFL game, like on the actual sideline. I'm looking forward to the experience, and I'll report back with anything I hear or observe next week. But it should be a lot of fun. So in the meantime, let's get ready. You still got a couple of weekends of non-NFL football left, although we do have college football this weekend. Florida State, Georgia Tech. Good luck to all my FSU friends. I'm a Gator, but I know a lot of FSU people. A bunch of people going over to Ireland, I know, for that game in Ireland. So good luck to them. That's real live-action football, and there will be that starting this weekend, every single weekend until the Super Bowl in February of 2025, and it feels really good to say that. So until then, enjoy the final preseason game. Get things done this weekend. Get stuff crossed off your list, whatever you got to do to get ready, because we are at the dawning of a new season. It feels so good. I'll talk to you next week. Until then, be safe out there. Have a fun, great weekend, and wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.